You're listening to the Ministry 127 podcast, a ministry of Lancaster Baptist Church and Pastor Paul Chappell. Today's podcast is on having a resilient spirit in ministry with Pastor Frank Gagliano. In 1986, God led Pastor Gagliano to plant the South Haven Baptist Church in Springfield, Tennessee, where he was faithfully pastored for over 25 years.
I want to share some things that I have shared with my staff through the years in our ministry and the things I believe will be a help, at least I pray so. Dr. John Bishop was in our church recently, and he made a statement that really was convicting to me. He said that one out of every 10,000 pastors in America, including, and that includes Protestant pastors, stay in their church over 20 years. One out of every 10,000. Dr. Paul Chapp, of course, made an announcement in the message recently that the average pastor stays 4 years in a pastorate. I've had the privilege to be under two pastors who stayed several years in ministry. Dr. Melvin Swanson, the Breen Baptist Church in Rockford, Illinois, that's my pastor. I was saved there. As a matter of fact, the guy who led me to the Lord is right here, Pastor Joel Coburnett. We're both members of the church there. But Dr. Swanson's been there, Brother Joel, 56 years, and still pastoring. What a blessing. And then Dr. Richard Wallace, I had the joy to work with him in Temple Baptist Church in Farmount, Texas for 3.5 years. And he's been there some 30 years or so. So I've had some good mentors that have watched their lives and been encouraged by following their example. There are several reasons why some pastors do not stay in a particular place. And of course, I want to give those to you quickly here, and then we'll get into the scripture in just a moment. First of all, of course, God calls them to another place, all right? And this isn't in your notes. This is extra stuff, okay? God calls them to another place. How many have been to more than one pastorate? Anybody here? I have. I started pastoring in a small town in Iowa, a town of about 600 people, my first pastor, and I was there 2 years, and God led me to another place. And then we went to Lewisville, Texas. I served as an associate pastor there for 3.5 years. And then 24 years ago, God called us to start the South Haven Baptist Church. So sometimes God does lead us to go to other places. And sometimes he leads us, we don't really want to, but it's his will. And that's important. We'll talk about that today. Another reason, of course, that some pastors leave because the church is a deacon-run church. Now, you say, well, why didn't they know that to begin with? Well, sometimes the deacons hide, you know. They don't show their true colors until they have to show them. And so some pastors just, they can't get the leadership of the church, so they have to leave. And then the third reason is this moral failure of the pastor. And we'll talk about that in just a moment. The fourth reason is the church just dies. Okay, I know of ministries that's happened to, and there's a lot of reasons for that. Number five is the pastor gets burned out. You have to watch that. And that's part of this resilient spirit we're talking about today. You got to be careful about getting burned out. And the reason we get burned out is because we do a lot of it in the power of the flesh and not in the power of the Holy Spirit. And then the sixth reason, problems in the church. Sometimes the problems get big and the pastor thinks that I can't handle these things. It's bigger than I am. And for whatever reasons, and I'm not criticize anybody if you know somebody who's done that, but sometimes problems cause the pastor to leave the church. And then, of course, obvious, the death of a pastor could cause him to leave the church. And so there's several reasons. Now, in this lesson I want to give you, and I pray that it'll be a help to you, it's very important that we understand that we need to have a resilient spirit in the ministry, because if we don't, we're not going to last in the ministry. And it may be God will call you to be somewhere for over 20 years. And as I told you, I have mentors that are far greater than that. 24 years doesn't seem very much to me at all when I have a pastor who's 56 years in ministry. But anyway, they've asked me to bring this, so I'm going to bring it to you. But I want you to look in Philippians chapter number 3. And I want to begin at verse 10. The Bible says here that I may know him, the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things that are behind and reaching forth on those things that are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded, And if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Let's pray. Our Father, thank you for the privilege it is to be in this conference and to attend and to hear what we've heard already. What a blessing. Our hearts have been challenged. I pray our lives would be changed. Lord, bless this session. I do want to be a help and blessing to these men who are here. Thank you for allowing us to serve you. What a privilege. What an honor. I pray that we'd be found faithful, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, a few things I want to share with you quickly. You have your outline there, and a lot of it's already in your outline, but just some things I want to share with you that I believe what it will take to have a resilient spirit. Number one is this, of course. This should be obvious to all of us. It will take a consistent walk with God. It will take a consistent walk with God. Now, what is that? Okay, we talk about walking with God, and is it just because you've been saved or because you're in the ministry means you already have a walk with God? Two things here. First of all, it's a walk of humbleness. Paul says in verse 12, not as though I had already attained or either were already perfect. Now, none of us can do anything great without the help of Jesus Christ. Jesus said in John 15, verse 5, I am the vine, you the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do not a thing. Pride goeth destruction, a haughty spirit for a fall. Proverbs 16:18. Now, I want to say this, and I hope you understand. Every day I pray this prayer. Lord, help us to attempt for our ministry. Great things for you. Expect great things for you. Remember this, whoever said that. But I pray that daily. But really the truth of the matter is, it's not just what we are going to attempt for God, but it's really what we're going to allow God to do through us for His glory and for His honor. That's what a walk of humbleness is. It's not, man, look what I've done or look what I'm going to go out and do. Okay? It's what we're going to surrender our lives to the Lord and allow Him to do through us for His glory and honor. Amen. And that's really what it's all about. You see, whatever we are, if we are anything that is a blessing, and whatever we do that ever is recognized by anybody, we all have to admit that it's by the grace of God. And it's for the glory of God. And so we need to have a walk of humbleness, and we need to be careful and to understand it's never about us. No matter where you pastor, no matter the size of your ministry, I only pastor a church of 100. It's not about you. Amen. I pastor a church of 100. It's not about you. It's all about Christ. Amen. And so if I'm going to be resilient, if I'm going to last in the ministry, then I've got to have a walk with God. And whenever I start getting proud and start thinking, man, look what I've done, and you heard that referred to this morning in the message, then we forget really who it's about and why we are what we are. Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. And if he should say that, then that's really, you and I won't have any room to speak greater than that. And so it's a walk of humbleness. And then secondly, and this is so vitally important, it's also a walk of holiness. Now, Paul says, the Word of God says in verse 12 again, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that which also I have apprehended of Christ Jesus. The word apprehend there means to obtain or to attain. Now, Paul knew, and of course you can read this text and understand this, he knew he would never be perfect in the true sense of the word perfection, but it did not stop him from striving to be perfect, okay? He strived, and other portions of Scriptures tell us that, and challenge us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. And by the way, just because we're pastors doesn't mean that we're above that. Matter of fact, we're in the firing line for that stuff. And so I have to be careful, and you have to be careful. If we want to stay in the ministry, we have to, listen, we have to choose to be holy. It's a decision. You have to choose that you're going to stand for Christ. See, a lot of men of God, and I'm certainly not downing them, I'm just saying Satan has defeated them through the sin of immorality, or I know some pastors who've been involved in embezzlement, and just some ungodly things, unheard of things that you would think nobody would really do that. And I don't think those men ever started out in the ministry thinking, you know, I'm going to do this one day. But they never chose to be holy. It's a decision. That's right. I'm saved and I'm a child of God, but I still got to make decisions to keep me holy and keep me right with God. And so in the ministry, if I'm going to last in the ministry, if you're going to last in ministry, well, it's going to take a consistent walk with God. And that consistent walk with God is involved in humbleness and holiness. And it's important, men, that we maintain a relationship with God and a personal walk through, now listen to me, through Bible reading and prayer. But wait a minute. Sometimes we do that and we think, you know, man, I read my Bible and I pray and I'm just now exempt from. Another word that we don't think about is obedience. Okay? That's part of my walk with Christ. Now, just because I'm a pastor doesn't mean I'm above obedience to God's word.
Amen.
And so, not only do I need to read my Bible, and not only do I need to pray, but I need to obey. Okay, that's part of holiness. And so, a walk of humbleness and a walk of holiness is was considered in a consistent walk with God. And so you examine your life, and our ministry is very busy, and we have a lot of stuff going on, and good stuff, good things, and I thank God for what He has seen fit to do through our ministry. But sometimes all that stuff can keep me away or tempt me to be torn aside away from God, where I'm too busy to spend time alone with the Lord. And man, if you're too busy to spend time alone with the Lord, then you're getting into the power of your own flesh. And we know about the flesh, it will fail us, okay? And so I've got to have my walk with God. First of all, I need that personally. And second of all, God wants to fellowship with me and meet with Him. And thirdly, I am ineffective in the ministry without God, okay? And so, number one, it will take a consistent walk with the Lord. All right, number two, in the outline there, it will take courage to do the work of God. It will take courage to do the work of God. Now, all these things are involved in staying in the ministry and being resilient and not giving up and not quitting. It's going to take courage sometimes. In verse number 10, Paul says something here that I think is very important, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. Now, how many of you men, by the way, how many are pastors? Okay. Assistant pastors, missionaries, not that you're not pastors, but okay, how many one day you're looking to be in the ministry? Anybody like that? Okay, several folks. God bless you. Glad you're here. How many of you really in your heart really want to know the Lord?
Amen.
Amen. That's what Paul said. Man, I want to know Him. Now, he met Jesus, but just because he met Him didn't mean he knew Him. Okay, so I really want to know Him. And then he said, I want to know the power of His resurrection. How many want the power of God in your life? Okay, now this next phrase, that's a whole different ballgame. He said, in the fellowship of His sufferings. How many want to suffer? If you raise your hand, there's something wrong with you. But Paul said, I want to be a part, and Christ a part of me so much that I want to have a suffer. Now, here's a man that wasn't saying, man, someday I'm probably going to suffer. Here's a man that was already suffering. Okay, I mean, he's already going through trials and persecutions and all of that. So it wasn't something, one day, you know, I'm going to stand for Christ. No, he's already doing that. And he's saying here, I want to be a part of the fellowship of His sufferings. I want to stand for Christ and stand with Him outside the camp. And I don't want to worry about what people say to me or do to me or whatever. I'm willing to do that. And I'm going to tell you something. That took courage. A couple things about courage. First of all, Romans 8:17, the Bible says that we are children of God and joint heirs with Christ. Now listen, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be glorified together. Now examine your own heart. I got to examine my life and my ministry. How much suffering really do we do? Okay. And this thing about being resilient in the ministry, and the reason a lot of men aren't, because when we start getting a little bit of pressure in the ministry, we're gone. Okay, that's not the fellowship of His sufferings. A couple of things here. First of all, courage begins with inward conviction. Inward conviction. I want you to turn to Numbers chapter 14, if you would, please. Numbers chapter 14. I know you know the story, but I like to look in the Bible and follow along in Scripture. But in Numbers 14... Twelve spies were sent out by Moses to spy out the land and prepare for how to take over the land. And in verse 1, and all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night because the report came back was negative. And all the children of Israel murmured. Now notice, all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation, not just some of them, the whole congregation said to them, "Would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, would God we had died in this wilderness, and wherefore hath the Lord brought us into this unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt?" And they said one to another, "Let us make a captain, let us return to Egypt." Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. Now, notice these two men, Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes, and they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, "The land which we passed through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which will flow with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us, their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us, fear them not." Now notice, "But all the congregation bade stone them with stones. And the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation for all the children of Israel." Now we read that in, and sometimes we like to think, man, I would do the same thing. But really, would we? No. Are we? I mean, do we have the courage right now to stand up when the whole congregation not standing with you? Wasn't some people, it wasn't just the 10 spies that were bad, the two that were good. It was the entire congregation of the nation of Israel. And so to courage for these men, and where'd they get it? Well, courage begins with an inward conviction. Every test we face in the ministry, now listen, men, it begins within us. And the test, somebody said this, courage deals with principle, not perception. And so within is, what's inside of me? What's inside of you? And do I really want to do the will of God? And am I really in this thing? And is this what I'm supposed to be doing? And do I have the courage to stand when it's not the most popular thing to be standing? When I went into the pastorate, my first pastorate in Iowa, a town of 600 people. And at the time, the church was running about 10 people, and they hadn't been a pastor in 5 years. And really, that is not where I wanted to go, but that's where God wanted me to be. And I went there, and I'm so thankful I went there. But the church at this time grew to about, we were there 2 years, it grew to about an average of 60, 65, whatever. We had a couple days over 100. But anyway, while we were there, they had on Easter Sunday, what they always had in the town was an ecumenical service. And Catholics and Church of Christ and even Jehovah Witness and Episcopalian and Presbyterian and the Baptists would all get together on Easter Sunday and have an ecumenical service. So a couple of folks in our church said, "Pastor, we do this every year, and they want you to come up there and say some things." I said, "I'm not going, and we're not going."
Amen.
Yep. Now, listen, I was 24 years old. It would have been easy. Matter of fact, I was tempted because nobody knew where Allerton, Iowa was. Yeah, I think God knew where it was. I'm not sure the angels knew where it was. So nobody would have known. But inside of me, I knew that God knew, and I couldn't compromise. Although, listen, I just confessing in the flesh, I wanted to. Well, man, you should have just stood up and said, "Hey, I was 24 years old, and I was the youngest guy in that church, and I just gotten there, and I didn't want to ruffle any feathers, and I did, but I could not." Dr. Cederholm just instilled in my heart, you know, stand, and now I'm out on my own where nobody knows where Allerton, Iowa is, and now am I going to stand? I want to tell you something. As a young boy at 24 years old, I'm so thankful today, and now I'm in my 50s, that I stood back then. Yes. Now, you say, "Man, that sounds easy." Every test we face begins with inside of every one of us. Okay, what am I inside? Is it real inside of me, or am I just in a position? Is this as a job? Or you know, am I really going to take a stand for God? And so courage, it begins with an inward conviction. And then the second thing, quickly, courage is doing what you fear you can't do. I'm going to turn to it, and you can if you'd like to, but Joshua chapter 1, and I, once again, I know you know these references, but Joshua, it's in the Bible because God wants us to have these truths that we can look at. In Joshua 1, in verse 6, be strong. Now God's talking to Joshua. Be strong of your courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and, notice, very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Here, God is saying to Joshua, listen, and by the way, we don't see it here, but can you just imagine Joshua's going to take Moses' place? All right, even though he doesn't think he has to fill his shoes, he still is filling his position. And he had been a faithful servant and a faithful helper to Moses, but now he's the man in charge. That's a whole different ballgame. And so God knows, by the way, God knows what's in our hearts. And so he comes to Joshua. Joshua, listen, I know you're scared to death about this new assignment. Anybody feel like that when you got into the ministry? I know you're scared to death about this new assignment, but listen, I want you to be very courageous. Now, what's that? What's courage? Somebody said, courage is fear that said is prayer. And then I like this one. There can be no courage unless you're scared. Amen. I mean, if you're not afraid, some people say, man, I'm not afraid of anything. Boy, and people say, boy, he's got great courage. No, that's stupidity. I'm willing to admit there's some things I'm afraid of. Ask Brother Joe Coleman. We went out sowing one time, and a big dog come after us. And I've done this more than once. Well, if you're out sowing with me and a big dog comes after, you're on your own, brother, because I'm out for myself, okay? There's some wisdom in that, amen? And make sure you go out sowing with somebody who's not as fast as you, okay? But anyway, courage is fear that said its prayer, and there can be no courage unless you are scared. I was talking to a pastor this week here at the conference, and he was sharing with me how he's just gone through this thing with his church, and they have the school, but they're going to have to close the school. And that's always a hard thing because there's some people in the church that will affect. But the school, the financially is not making it, it's not growing, it's just really hurting the church. And he came to the conclusion the church's got to be number one, not the school. But I'm going to tell you something, that's easy to say. And we all say, yeah, he should have done that. But be in his shoes. When you got to face the people and tell them that, and some people are going, what's wrong with you? You know, this is the ministry of the church, and we got to keep it going, and that type of thing. I mean, it takes courage to do that. And that does not mean he wasn't afraid to do it. But he still did what we're supposed to do. And so, courage begins with inward conviction. Courage is doing what you fear you can't do. This is so important. Courage is a choice. It always is. In verse 8, here in Joshua, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Now notice verse 9. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. God says, Joshua, this is a command. What is it? Stop being afraid or do it anyway. I've called you to this ministry, and I know it's difficult, and it's not going to be easy, and I know that Moses was a great man, but you don't have to worry about Moses, because it wasn't Moses that got this job done so far. It was me, and as I was with Moses, I'm going to be with you. And so there's this thing of courage where I've got to make a choice. And so God says to Joshua, listen, I've commanded you, now you're going to have the decision. You're going to obey me. Courage is a choice to believe and to obey God. You see, faith and obedience demand courage. Anybody here ever get afraid when you go out soul winning? Oh, yeah. And I've been out soul winning. I've knocked down gazillions of doors. But I'm always wondering who's going to come behind that other door. You know, and are they going to be nice to me? You know, are they going to like me? Are they going to shoot me? Whatever, you know. I mean, we're just like that. But isn't it still neat to go out there and knock on the door, though? Even though you're afraid? Or even though you're just a little bit anxious about it, whatever? Because why? Because God said, I'll be with you.
That's right.
Okay? And so in the ministry, I've got to have some courage. I was talking to another pastor just yesterday. Been in ministry 25 years. And he was sharing with me, when they first started out, the first 5 years of the ministry, they were Free Will Baptist Church. And I don't know how it took place, being around certain men that he heard them preach and so forth, but he knew that God was leading him to lead the church out of the Free Will Baptist movement into the Independent Baptist, become an Independent Baptist church. And so they were running 350 people. And so he had to go to his people and tell them, listen, God is leading me to take our church and lead us out of this convention into becoming an Independent Baptist church, because that's the biblical way. And so all the people just loved it, right? They went from 350 to 80 people. And there were reasons and lawsuits and all kinds of stuff that took place and whatever. That took courage for that man to do that. It would have been easier just to go to another ministry and start an Independent Baptist church. But he stayed there. That was 20 years ago. Today they're running 1,000.
Amen.
Okay. Courage is a choice. And by the way, Joshua got it, because later on in chapter 24, he stood before the people of Israel and he said, listen, you choose. You choose who you're going to serve. Well, the gods on the other side of the flood, and the gods of Amorites in the land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Joshua had learned early in his ministry that courage takes a choice. And he stands for the whole congregation saying, listen, you choose what you're going to do. But we're going to stand before you, and I'm going to tell you right now that my family and I, we're staying with Jehovah God, who brought us this far. And you all go whichever route you're going to go. But we're going to stay with the Lord. I'm going to tell you something. That takes courage to do that. Okay? And so, how do I stay resilient in the ministry? And how can I keep at it and doing what God has called me to do and not give up? Well, it's going to take a consistent walk with God. Okay? And it can't be a facade and it can't be a fake. It's got to be a real genuine walk with God, and you got to really know the Lord and humble yourself for Him, and we got to fight the thing of pride. We all got to do that constantly, and we got to humble ourselves, and we got to stay holy and choose to be holy. And it's going to take courage, because sometimes the ministry is going to put you in a position sometimes where you're going to have to stand for the people and do something you know they're not going to like. I don't know any church that likes to get into a building program. Because people know sacrifice, sacrifice. That's what they hear when you say building. And all they're thinking about, man, that new car I wanted to buy, or that new house I just built, and all that type of stuff. Sometimes the ministry puts us in a position where we got to take a stand and do the will of God. Okay? And so there's a consistent walk with God. And we're hurrying along here. And by the way, isn't it great to have a session right after lunch? A consistent walk with God. Number two, that it will take courage to do the work of God. And then number three, it will take commitment to do the will of God. Now back in Philippians, actually, in chapter 3 again, and verse number 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things right behind and reaching forth on those things right before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. It will take commitment. Somebody said this, there's never been a great leader or achiever who lacked commitment. Okay, let me ask you a question. You answer it in your heart, okay? Are you really committed to what God is using you to do right now? I mean, are you really committed to it? When I came out of college, and I don't mean to be parking it here, it's not even in my notes, but I can remember hearing guys say, well, I'm going to go to this ministry, and I'm going to stay there for a little bit, and I'm going to go to something else, and I understand the thinking about that, and God moved me like that, but I never went to a ministry saying that.
That's right.
You should not use the ministry as a stepping stone to something else.
Amen.
Okay, wherever you're at, whatever God has you do, you need to be committed to that right now. All right, a couple thoughts under here, under commitment. Number one is this, commitment is a matter of the heart. Proverbs 4:23, keep thy heart with all diligence on the issues of life. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 6, not with eye service as men pleasers, but doing the will servants of Christ doing the will of God from the heart. You pastors that have been pastoring, you ever wonder what gets into the lives of people that they all of a sudden they decide they don't want to serve anymore? Anybody ever have choir members just stop singing in the choir? Anybody like that? Or a Sunday school teacher said, it's time for me to step aside and let somebody else do it. I always say, I haven't found that in the Word yet. People that just quit, and maybe a bus worker that just, they quit, and it's a sacrifice to work in the bus ministry. Any ministry takes time and effort and a sacrifice. And the reason they quit is because they're not committed to it, and the reason they're not committed to it is because it's a matter of the heart. They quit because their heart's not right. I never met anybody whose heart is right that quit doing something they knew that God wanted them to do. Now listen to me. You and I understand that. Man, we'll stand up and preach against it. But I've seen a lot of pastors who aren't right in the heart either. They quit too. They get discouraged and they give up. They get tired of the work and they quit. They get burned out and they throw in the towel. And the reason the pastor gives up and the reason the pastor quits, if it's not God's will for you to do something else and go somewhere else, the reason we quit is the same reason our people quit. It's a heart problem. That's why constantly I have to be searching my heart, because maybe you don't have a problem with this, but sometimes my heart even deceives me. The Bible says it's desperately wicked. Who can know it? Well, I know who can. The Holy Spirit can. Sometimes, have you ever prayed that Psalm? Psalms 139, 23. Search me, O God. Hey, you better be ready when you pray that. Because He will search you. And He turns the light on inside and shows you what's really there. And sometimes it's good, men, for us to do a heart check every now and then. Because commitment is a matter of the heart. And if I let my heart get away from God, and if I let my heart get out of the work of God, it won't be long, I will be away from the Lord completely. I could give you illustration after illustration of men of God, former men of God, no longer men of God at all. Not even going to church, living in horrible lives. Where did that begin? Right here, in the heart. All right, commitment number two is maintained in spite of difficulties. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Is that clock right? Yes. Okay, got to watch the clock here. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 8. The Bible says, "We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. That for we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh." Now, commitment is maintained in spite of difficulties, and we have the difficulties here of obstacles. Now, this is so important, man, and I want you to get this, and I know you know this, but sometimes we don't realize this. Isn't this a great church here? Amen. Isn't it a wonderful place to be? Man, just awesome. But you know today that every ministry has its problems? I guarantee if you took Dr. Chapel aside and nobody else is listening and say, "You don't have any problems here?" He'd probably be the first to say, "Yeah, I got a whole list right here of problems I'm dealing with." You know, it's so easy to look at somebody else and say, "Man, I wish I had their ministry. I wish whatever." But listen, you have the will of God. Amen. That's what Brother Chapel has here. This is God's will for him. And so commitment is maintained by difficult obstacles. Every ministry has, no matter what the size, has its own problems. Listen, the grass may be greener on the other side, but I found this out about grass. No matter where you go, you still got to mow it, still got to weed eat it. Okay? And so this thing of obstacles, every ministry has them. You may be going through right now and say, "Man, I wish I could pastor a church where there are no problems." Well, listen, if you'll pastor a church, you'll be the only one there, and you'll probably have problems with yourself after a while. Okay? Because people present problems, and if not the people, we certainly have the devil behind it all. Okay? All right, and then the second thing, the difficulty of opposition. 1 Corinthians 16:9, Paul said, "For a great door and effectual is open unto us, and there are many adversaries." Every ministry, listen, has its own opposition. It could be opposition from without. Maybe you have that at your place. Or even opposition from within. Moses had opposition from within and from without. Ezra had opposition. Nehemiah had opposition. Anybody ever tried to do anything for God had opposition. Okay. And so I've got to continue to go on even in spite of the opposition. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Okay, evidently God knew that we would have some hardness sometime in the ministry. I wish, boy, sometimes the ministry is the most wonderful thing to do. Amen. Okay, and it's always a joy to be in it. But I want to tell you something. Sometimes you got to wonder, God, is this really what I want to do the rest of my life? And then the answer is, it's what you called me to do. I have to do it the rest of my life. And so commitment is maintained in spite of difficulties. And third, commitment is manifested in succeeding. Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7 to 8, you know these verses, but he says, "I fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord the righteous judge shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but to all them also that love his appearing." Commitment is manifested in succeeding. "Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap it if we faint not." Galatians 6, 9. Now, you've heard this, quitters never win, winners never quit, right? Well, the same thing is true about the ministry. Let me give you a statement here. Anything less than total commitment, okay, anything less than total commitment does not have the power necessary to defeat your opposition, destroy your obstacles, or declare your goals. Okay, let me give it to you again. Anything less than total commitment does not have the power necessary to defeat your opposition, destroy your obstacles, or declare your goals. It's got to be total commitment. It's got to be more than just a job to you. It's got to be the will of God. Now, I want you, with that in mind, I want you to turn to Colossians, and I'm going to be wrapping it up here in just a couple minutes, but I want to go to Colossians chapter 4, and under this thing of commitment, there are three requirements concerning God's will that involve commitment. And I want you to see this, and then we'll be done. Colossians chapter 4, and notice verse 12. "Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. For I bear him record that he hath great zeal for you, and them that are in Laodicea, and them in Hierapolis." Now, first of all, who was Epaphras? Well, first of all, he was a fellow servant of Paul, the Apostle Paul. He was also a fellow prisoner of the Apostle Paul. He was also the pastor of the church of Colossae. Chapter 1, verse 7 tells us that. And so here's this man in prison with Paul. The Holy Spirit of God has Paul write the church of Colossae a letter telling them that their pastor's praying for them. Okay, what's he praying for them about? Paul, the Holy Spirit had Paul write, I want to remind you what your pastor's been praying. I've been hearing him pray. And he's been praying for you concerning the will of God for your lives. See, I'm not sure if Epaphras knows for sure he's not getting back to Colossae. And so he's so concerned of the commitment of the people concerning the will of God. And so three things about commitment here and about requirements for concerning God's will to help us stay committed to the will of God. Number one is, first of all, you got to find the will of God. All right? The word "stand" there in verse number 12 is the Greek word that actually means a confident attitude or established. Now, before you can do the will of God, of course you understand this, you got to find it. All right? Here we're talking about the pastorate, but it could be about anything. We always have something about the will of God we've got to be looking up. Okay? There's always something new that God, we got to find out, is God leading us to do this and so forth. But concerning the ministry, make sure that you're in the will of God first. Then when you know you're in the will of God, take your stand. Now, I'm going to ask you a question and be honest today, okay? How many of you know right now that you're in the center of the will of God? I'm not asking you, do you have problems? I'm asking you, man, are you going through trials? I'm going to ask you, do you have opposition? Are you in the will of God right now concerning where you're at? How many of you know that? Amen. Okay? Now that you know that, you ought to take a stand of commitment concerning the will of God. Okay? You can't stand unless you know where you're at is the will of God. And once you find the will of God, you got to stand in the will of God. Now, there's different ways to find the will of God. You find it through Scripture. Hopefully you went through that. Psalms 119, verse 105. Thy word is a lamp to my feet, a light unto my path. You find God's will through seeking counsel. Spiritual counselors, Proverbs 11:14. Where no counsel is, the people fall. The multitude of counsels, there is safety. You find the will of God, as we've been learning about this week, through the Holy Spirit's leading. In Acts chapter 8, when Philip was preaching revival in Samaria, the Holy Spirit told him to go. Doesn't make any sense. He's got a great revival going on. He says, go to the desert of Gaza. Well, Lord, I'm being used of God greatly here. God said, I've got a better plan for your life. And the Holy Spirit led him to Gaza just to talk to one soul. Now, I don't know if it's accurate or not, but some tell us throughout history that the Ethiopian went back and great revivals took place under his witnessing. I don't know if that's true or not, but probably is. You find the will of God through seeking it through prayer. Remember Cornelius prayed and the centurion and the angel came, or Peter came and said, Cornelius, your prayers have been answered. Okay? All right, number one is you find the will of God. And men, this next one is so important. You follow the will of God. You follow the will of God. The next word there, perfect, there in the Greek, in our text, in Colossians, is actually the word that means continuing to develop fully or maturing. Okay? Ephraim was praying that they were still being faithful to doing the will of God that they have found while he was their pastor. Men, if what you have found, this is so important, is the will of God, then be faithful to it. I want you to turn to Acts 26 quickly here. Acts 26. Paul says this about his own ministry. He's standing before Agrippa, testifying. He gives the testimony of the Lord, calling him to the ministry, verse 15 through 18 and so forth. But verse 19, he says, whereupon, he got the commission from the Lord to go to the Gentiles and give the gospel. And he says, whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them of Damascus and Jerusalem. Remember, he always took it to the Jews and the synagogues. Wherever Paul went, he always went to the Jews first, synagogues, then to the Gentiles. And through all the coasts of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God, and do works meet for repentance. For these causes the Jews came, caught me in the temple, and went about to kill me. Now notice, having obtained favor and help of God, notice, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to the small and to the great. Paul said, I have found the will of God. Here was God's calling for my life. I was to go to the Gentiles and get out the gospel. And he says, I want you to go through all the persecutions and all the trials and all the times of testing. He said, I have been faithful. He's not bragging. He's just saying, I have done and what God has told me to do. I'm continued to do it. This is why God's will for me. This is why I'm here. This is why I'm in prison, because I'm doing what God has told me to do. Keep following the will of God and don't get sidetracked. And if what you have found is the will of God, and once you find the will of God, do it and keep doing it and don't quit. How many of you men went to Bible college? How many of you men wanted to quit when you were in Bible college? Oh, I did. Some people said, man, I just love college. But something wrong with you. I did not love college. I mean, I loved where I went. But honestly, I wanted to get out of college as fast as I could. You say, how often did you want to quit? Every Monday. Every Monday I wanted to quit college. I worked at my church at home, and I just wanted to be at my church at home and build a bus route and do all that. But I'm so thankful today I finished it, and I didn't quit college. But there's some reasons why I couldn't quit. And these have always stayed with me. And this is honest and true. Four reasons why I kept doing the will of God when I was in college and continue today. By the grace of God. Number one is this, because of those who were praying for me. My church back home and folks that knew me and loved me and knew the Lord, they oftentimes, Frank, were praying for you. If I would have quit, then their prayers would have not been answered. Okay, I would discourage their prayer life. That weighed a lot on me. That's the honest truth. God knows it's true. And then the second reason is because those who had invested in me. Some folks had given me money, you know, $20 for gas or whatever to get back to college and so forth. They invested in me. The third reason was the precedent I would be setting in my life. You see, if I quit and the going got rough, I knew, somehow, I don't know why I knew this, but I knew, but man, I'll continue to do that later on in life. But here's the climax. This was really the one that really got me. It was the will of God for my life to be at college. And I can hardly wait to get out of this church. Okay, wait a minute. You just raised your hand a moment ago and saying you know where you are. It's the will of God. Does God's will change when your ministry has obstacles? Does God just say, hey, I want you here until there's problems and I'm going to move you out because, man, I just can't handle problems? And see, once you start, and I'm not criticizing anybody's ever done it, I'm just telling you, why don't you stay and find out what God can do?
Amen.
Okay? And so, find the will of God, follow the will of God, and then last of all, finish the will of God. We're all going to stand before Him one day. I'm going to give an account. Paul said here, back in Colossians, he said to the people, Epaphras has been praying for you that you would stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. The word complete there means accomplished and finished. Dr. Tom Malone finished his course. I had the joy of knowing him and having him in our church. What a blessing.
Yes, sir.
Dr. Lee Robertson preached our charter member service in 1986. Finished his course. We had him several times. I don't know if any of you knew Dr. Lee Robertson very much, but when in his older life, he never liked to fly. Not that he never did fly, but he never liked. He always liked to drive. When he got a little older, he couldn't drive very well. And I remember us having at our church one time, and after church went out to lunch, and he wanted to drive his car with his wife, and so coming out of our street here, there's a big highway in front, and I waited till there were no cars, because I knew how he drove. And I waited, there were no cars, so I got out as fast as I could, and he came, and he sat there and waited till traffic came. And he pulled out, and I mean, he came this close, and I think, God, please don't let him die while he's at my church. You know, I don't want him to die at all, but not here, you know. And God just saw him through. His son called me the next day, and he said, well, Brother Frank, how'd it go with Dad? And I said, oh, he was great. I told him about that, and he said, listen, he said, I used to follow them to meetings. And he said, I got so scared and nervous. He said, I passed them up the road and said, God, they're in your hands. I'm not going to follow them anymore. But Dr. Lee Robertson came and preached our term member service. Our third anniversary, he said to me after the service was over, we're standing on the parking lot. He said, Brother Frank, he said, if a man will stay here, I believe God will use him to build a great church. And I said, Dr. Robertson, will you pray for me? That I could be that man and God let me stay? And that great man of God put his arm around me and prayed for me 20-something years ago that I would stay and God would build a great work. Paul said, Ephraim's been praying for you to what? To finish it. To finish it. Complete. Paul said, I finished my course. Jesus said, it's finished, but listen to me. In the same chapter in 2 Timothy, Paul said, I finished. He said, Demas hadn't. I don't want the Lord to say when I stand before Him, Frank, you did some of my will. Honestly, I really don't want to hear him say that. I don't want to hear him say, Frank, you did most of my will. I want to hear the Lord say, well done, a good and faithful servant. And we got to have a resilient spirit in the ministry. And that doesn't come automatically. You're going to have a consistent walk with God because you're going to go through things. And you're going to have courage because you're going to go through things. And you're going to have commitment because you are going to go through things. But if you're in the center of the will of God, you're not going to go through it alone. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Ministry 127 podcast. Today's lesson was on having a resilient spirit in ministry with Pastor Frank Gagliano.